from deep inside your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission is Michael Powell, the son of Colin Powell. Now, his dad's got some fish to fry right now, so he's probably not getting a lot of advice from dad. So Mike is on his own in proposing and probably going to be succeeding in pushing through the Federal Communications Commission the last step in the process of eliminating the rules restricting how many radio stations or television stations one company can own. If you want to see some examples of the effects that the lessening of those restrictions has had up to now, there's a piece in, I think, Friday's Wall Street Journal about Clear Channel Communications, which owns 8 stations in San Diego, runs 4 more from across the Mexican border, and basically says, you know, if you want to reach males, we'll charge you more because we got all of them. Because we have a sports station, we have a rock station, and there is no competition. But, oh, no, but you could, there's competition. You could hire a blimp. So, as I say, Michael Powell is fixing to ram through the, persuade the FCC to eliminate all remaining rules against one company owning all the radio and television stations in the United States. And again, if you want to see the effects that's had so far, there are billboards, at least here in Southern California this week, that sprouted, that say the following. 2 channels, 3 times, 1 judge. Trumpeting the fact that Judge Judy is now seen 3 times a day on 2 different channels because Viacom, which owns Channel 2, just bought Channel 9, and they didn't have enough real native Channel 9 programming to fill the day with, so they had to bring Judge Judy over from Channel 2 to kind of fill one of the holes, don't you see? So, you know, but you could always watch a blimp. Not to say that this kind of thing doesn't happen in more alternative circumstances as well. This week in Southern California came the news that our 2 alternative newspaper weeklies had been reduced by half to 1. As same thing happened in Cleveland, not coincidentally, because the company that owned the number 2 alternative weekly in Los Angeles made a deal with its competitor, which happened to be the company that owned the number 2 competitive alternative weekly in Cleveland. Hey, let's not compete with each other. Let's shut them down. And so they did. And so there's now only 1 alternative weekly in Los Angeles. And by alternative, I just mean, you know, a place to see the movie ads before you get to the high colonic ads, before you get to the prostitute ads. That's an alternative weekly. So now there's only 1 in L.A. and 1 in Cleveland. That's alternative. Hello, welcome to the show. Take me so high, I could get used to you.
keep going your way. I'll keep going my way. River, stay away from the door. I just got a cabin. You don't need my cabin. River, stay away from the door. Don't come up any higher. I'm so all alone. Leave the bed and the fire. That is all I own. I ain't breaking your heart. Don't start breaking my heart. River, stay away from the door. I'll keep going my way. You keep rolling your way. River, stay away from the door. I just got me a cabin. You'll never need that cabin. River, stay away from the door. Don't you come up any higher. I'm so all alone. Leave the bed and the fire. And you can have that phone. I ain't breaking your heart. Don't you start breaking my heart. River, stay away from the door. Stay away, get away, roll away, stay away, you dirty old muddy river, you. River, stay away from the door.
Traveling down the turnpike, heading for the shore. A thought just then occurred to me I never thought before. I've been a lot of places, seen pictures of the rest. But of all the places I can think of, I like Jersey best. Betting halls, shopping malls, good old Rutgers U. 47 shoe stores, line Route 22. The Meadowlands, the root beer stands, Main Street, Hackensack. I may leave for a week or two, but I'm always coming back. The Pinelands and the Vinelands, Seaside Heights, Margate. You can have Miami, I love the Garden State. Been a lot of places, seen pictures of the rest. But of all the places I can think of, I like Jersey best. And now, of course, the Paul Simon version. Whoa, we have horses, Princeton courses, gas stations, we have scores. Trenton, Hopewell, Lake of Patcon, Manteloke and Shores. Some states have their rock stars, oh, but Springsteen beats them all. And our beautiful arena has Brendan Byrne carved on the wall. Still. Whoa, lots of dineries, oil refineries, our highways make you cough. But Spring Lake Heights and Belmar are places to get off. Drinking spots and used car lots make the place just grand. If you want to pay a visit, Newark Airport's where you land. Oh, the Pinelands and the Vinelands, Seaside Heights, Margate. You can have Miami, I love the Garden State. Seen the snapshots of the rest. But of all the places I can take chicks to, I like Jersey Best. New Jersey and you, perfect together.
From the other edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to another edition of a show. That's sort of in tribute to Bob Torricelli, ladies and gentlemen, who is who left the race for re-election from senator from New Jersey this week. Just another example of the Democrats helping the Republicans in every way they can. Chief spokesman for the Democrats on in the debate against the rush to war against Iraq. Al Gore, he's not damaged goods, is he? Teddy Kennedy, he's not damaged goods, is he? And Bob Byrd, somebody hold him up. And then Bob Torricelli, ethically challenged, persists until after the deadline when the polls begin going farther south than Veracruz. And then he says, no, I am so out of here for the sake of my party. A lovely speech. It's always good to see a tough guy cry. Or come very near it. And now, of course, the Democrats are daring the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene in New Jersey. The New Jersey Supreme Court said, no, it's okay. Deadline schmedline, deadline breadline. Frank Lautenberg can slip in and run. Because he's got good name recognition. And it makes it more of a contest. So we're for competition in those. We're against competition in radio. No, you can always listen to a blimp. So my question is this. All of the controversy over the court stepping in and the deadline, the legislatively imposed deadline being ignored, could have been avoided had Bob Torricelli done one thing. Instead of announcing he was out of the race, he could have announced he's resigning from the Senate. If he resigns from the Senate, the Democratic governor of New Jersey gets to appoint a successor. The election is delayed. Why doesn't he do that? What's he hanging around for? What's Bob Torricelli think is going to happen in the next 3 months that's worth his while hanging around the Senate? Of course they're not going to tell you that. Of course nobody's asking that question because they're journalists. Speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, you're familiar now with the story. Media outlets around the world, from CBS, ABC, and CNN to the British tabloids, delivered the sad news. Blondes are dying out. There's a study from the World Health Organization, this is for real, that says blondes are an endangered species, Charlie Gibson said on Good Morning America, prompting Diane Sawyer to say she's going the way of the snail darter. The World Health Organization says there is no such study, and most journalists didn't even call to check. I didn't say they didn't call for the check. I said they didn't call to check that the study exists, you see, because that would mean that they couldn't say that the study existed. We certainly never conducted any research into the subject. Who spokeswoman, don't get me started, who spokeswoman Rebecca Harding said from Geneva, it's been impossible to find out where it came from. It just seems like it was a hoax. The story was traced to an account in a German wire service, which in turn was based on a 2-year-old article in the German women's magazine Allegra. That's right, they're naming magazines after drugs now. Well, Rosie. Which cited a WHO anthropologist. Harding could find no record of such a man working for the WHO. For the media, the blondes are gone story was too good to check. Study is a blonde bombshell, said the New York Post headline. In the ITN, British ITN, that's their commercial news organization, report, correspondent Roland Burke interviewed an Edinburgh dermatology professor who didn't exactly endorse the study. I wouldn't expect the number of blondes to die out, although it might drop a little, he said. CBS spokeswoman Jennifer Tartikoff, any relation? Maybe. Said the study was brought up in a casual, offhand manner, not as a hard news story. She said it was in an early show segment not carried by 99% of CBS affiliates. So that's when we can tell hoax stories in, I guess, is the implication there. if the affiliates aren't carrying it, the gloves are off. ABC spokesman Jeffrey Schneider, any relation, said that a London producer who called the WHO, which didn't turn him off to the story, unfortunately. The WHO official simply offered to check it out, but didn't knock it down, said Schneider. Good Morning America will air a correction. Diane Sawyer is not going the way of the snail darter. CNN said it carried the report from one of its highly reputable international broadcast partners, ITN. CNN regrets the error. The WHO says it has better things to spend its time on. There are diseases. Speaking of CNN, one thing it doesn't regret. In an effort to be sure we are as cutting-edge as possible with our on-screen persona, please refer to this slang dictionary when looking for just the right phrase, reads an internal memo at CNN Headline News. Please use this guide to help all you homies and honeys add a new flavor to your tickers and decos, the memo continues, referring to the stuff that's at the bottom of the screen. On the CNN pick list of hip-hop phrases to work into the news copy, Jimmy Hat, meaning condom. Fly, for sexually attractive, and ill, meaning to act inappropriately. The memo, according to Headline News, was sent out by a mid-level producer to the attention of graphics writers. Top executives knew nothing about it. But earlier this week, Headline News director Rolando Santos told the San Francisco Chronicle that he is working slang phrases, the lingo of our people, into his newscasts. Who are his people? 18 to 49s. Says Andrew Tyndall, editor of a report which monitors TV news, there's nothing more ridiculous than people trying to act hipper than they are. Hey, I'm down with that. But when good networks act bad, continues, in Chicago, Channel 50's only two locally produced programs were canceled and two producers were fired after Fox bought the station. One was a public affairs show concerning Chicago. And the other was an educational award-winning children's series, Up and Running. We don't need those. Judge Judy's available. Advertising marches on, too, ladies and gentlemen. The city of Springfield, Florida, will soon be getting 15 new squad cars equipped with computer databases, satellite tracking, and backseat jail bars. The cost of each vehicle is only $1. These aren't traditional black and white police cars. Instead, each cruiser will be emblazoned with advertisements that could vary from local services to national fast food chains. Dozens of cash-strapped towns are also considering the idea, an offer made by a marketing company. Yeah, that's good. It's good for business, being associated with, the guy who comes and busts you. You really want to eat their donuts when you get out, don't you? No, but we like the cops now. While law enforcement experts see a whole new source of revenue to replace aging, outdated fleets, critics wonder whether this could mean we'll be seeing live TV broadcasts of car chases in which the pursuers sport ads for Happy Meals next to each siren. Yeah? Your point being? Proponents counter the ads will be tasteful, none for alcohol, tobacco, firearms, or gambling. City buses and dog catcher trucks already carry such advertisements, and this is merely the next logical step, they say. Those are the three words that scare me the most these days, ladies and gentlemen. The next logical step. That's four words, but I'm not counting the. And pop-up ads, which have been annoying computer users ever since they launched several years ago, are now migrating to the TV screen. Wait a minute, I read this last week. Who's running this show? Anyway, you know about that. Pop-up ads on your TV. It's the next logical step, ladies and gentlemen. And now, the next logical step in today's broadcast. Our apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Gainesville, Florida. Florida officials apologized to University of Kentucky football coaches and plan to send them a check for about $700 as reimbursement for money stolen from their wallets in the locker room during last week's game. Somebody went through, and thank God they left all the wallets and the plastic and everything, but they just basically stole a little over $700 in cash, Florida Associate Athletic Director Greg McGarity said. Money was taken from the wallets of Kentucky coaches. Nothing else was taken from players or staff except cash. the school has decided to beef up security. Changes will include extra security around the visiting team's locker room at future home games. And Kathleen Sebelius, the Democratic candidate for Kansas governor, apologized this week for remarking that driving on Missouri roads was much more terrifying to me than the attacks on the World Trade Center. Don't these people, haven't anybody learned? You don't compare anything to that. You're just going to end up in the apology of the week. Sebelius called her comment insensitive and said she was sorry. As someone who has lost a good friend in the World Trade Center attack, I would never minimize a tragedy, she said. That tragedy, she said in the statement. Other tragedies she doesn't clarify about. She said in the statement, I take responsibility for my comments. I regret them and hope we can move forward. Why wouldn't we want to just stay right here? Her chief opponent, Republican Tim Schallenberger, criticized Sebelius for the comment, which was made at a candidate forum. If she said it in jest, it's not funny, Schallenberger said. She's failed her first test as a leader. She's a two-term insurance commissioner. She made remarks in response to a question about protecting the state's 10-year, $13.6 billion road program from cuts. She responded she'd been stranded in Ohio last year after the September 11th attack. She rented a car and drove alone back to Kansas. In doing so, she drove across Interstate 70 in Missouri. Citing the condition of that road, Sebelius said Kansas needed to keep up with its road maintenance. The roads in Missouri were much more terrifying to me than the attacks on the World Trade Center because I really did think my life was far more at risk, she said. Said a mother of a victim of the 9/11 attacks, I wouldn't vote for her for anything, even PTA chairman. She might offend somebody. At the same forum, Schallenberger, the state treasurer, the opponent, referred to Branson, Missouri, as the fourth biggest tourist trap in the country. He meant that as a compliment. I can't keep up with this, what's supposed to be good and what's supposed to be bad. In the in this whole area. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is from a trade, but I have so much from trades that I will read this in the news segment of the broadcast because it's so... We've waited for this for so darn long. It's been 25, maybe more years since we began being told we're running out of oil. Now, this week from Oil and Gas Journal, Dateline Houston, the world is drawing down its reserves at an unprecedented oil reserves at an unprecedented rate, with supplies likely to be constrained by global production capacity by 2010, even assuming no growth in demand. Oil will permanently cease to be abundant, said the World Oil Supply Report. In the World Oil Supply Report, analysts said that the supply and demand will be forced to balance, but at a price. The resulting economic shocks will rival those of the 1970s. So we may see a president wearing a sweater again. This is scary stuff. And just in case you're too scared, ladies and gentlemen, something to take the pressure off just a little bit. Here's Tom Brokaw.
Okay, now we're going to do promos.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Three, two.
I'm Tom Brokaw. Tonight, the latest on the Middle East situation. Also, Rudy Giuliani. More than a year after 9/11, his message still resonates. People stir... Boy, that's going to be way too long. Who's writing this stuff?
Tonight.
This is Le Show. And ladies and gentlemen, apropos of Senator Edward Kennedy being one of the leading Democratic spokespeople for delaying the skedaddling toward war, here he is from the Senate floor, the debate on the Senate floor on Friday. From the, maybe you should read the copy over a couple times before you go to the floor with it, Senator Department.
The Bush administration says America can fight a war in Iraq without undermining our most pressing national security priority, the war against Al-Qaeda. But I believe it is inevitable that a war in Iraq will, without serious international support, will weaken our effort to ensure that the Al-Qaeda terrorists can never, never, never threaten America's lives again. Unfortunately, the threat from Al-Qaeda is still imminent.
I say Al-Qaeda, I say Al-Qaeda. Let's call the whole thing Kennedy. Ladies and gentlemen, from our search for ways that we could have imagined 9/11 before 9/11, the file gets thicker, says Art, an emailer. Dear Bashir, I remember hearing about an attempt to attack Paris with commercial airplanes, and your show the last 2 weeks prompted me to search for the facts. I found the info below, a CNN report dated October 2001. The idea of a suicide attack against a metropolitan area was first coined in 1994 when Algerian GIA, allegedly during a hijack, tried to command an airplane to fly over metropolitan Paris and then crash it on the city itself. That attempt failed. French troops stormed the plane before it could take off and head for Paris and the Eiffel Tower. Condi Rice missed that. Another listener, Dave, your last show reminded me of the U.S. Navy battleship that shot down an Iranian passenger jet during the Reagan years, killing more than 300 Iranian citizens, if I recall correctly. I remember the justification the U.S. gave for blowing it out of the sky was that they believed the jet was going to be used in a suicide mission against the battleship. That's Dave. In the pilot episode, this is from another David. In the pilot episode for the canceled X-Files spinoff, The Lone Gunman, the final sequence has the heroes aboard a jetliner, which they believe has a bomb on board. Searching the plane, they find nothing. Their computer geek hacks into the plane's autopilot program and finds that it has been set to collide with the World Trade Center. One of them has a line of dialogue, something like, "My God, it's the plane. The plane is the bomb." I'm pretty sure the air date, says this correspondent, was at least 9 months prior to 9/11/2001. About 6 months after that date, I was looking through a stack of old unlabeled videotapes. I put one in, pressed play. The first thing I saw was a special effects shot of a jetliner headed straight for the towers. When I recovered from the shock, I recalled the scene in the show. What followed was a now harrowing sequence in which the lone gunman take control of the plane and it zooms over the top of one tower, barely missing it. Yeah, nobody could have imagined that, except some guys on the Fox lot. And now, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, the night DJs changed the pitch. What am I going to do? Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the trades for you. Thank you for reminding me. Some good stuff this week from three different trades. Who cares about the pitch? I'll read them for you. From New Products Magazine. Workers in a microwave popcorn factory in Jasper, Missouri, are being diagnosed with a rare form of lung disease that may be caused by inhaling the butter flavoring in microwave popcorn. This story began to unfold a year ago when more than 30 workers were diagnosed with severe breathing problems and a diagnosis of fixed destructive lung disease, also dubbed popcorn packer's lung. Other health effects, including a severe rash that can cause workers' skin to peel off. No comment necessary. From Current, the public telecommunications newspaper, the trade of this very industry, the public broadcasting industry. Finding words for gut feelings. There's something good about public radio, but I just can't put my finger on it. That is the itch the Public Radio Program Directors Association hopes to scratch with its studies of core values, the standards that define public radio's programming and reside in the gut of many longtime producers and programmers. The research was touted at a conference in Cincinnati. Presenters discussed how it could be applied to bettering local news and classical music programming. These most recent studies build on a basic vocabulary of core values developed when the Program Directors Board sought to refine how programmers discuss and select the shows they air. They aim to articulate the qualities that make programs align with public radio's sound and mission. Now, I don't think we get to know what the core values are, though. No, we don't have... We had to better grip on what quality was from listeners' perspective. We don't see what the core values are in this story, unfortunately. They're hiding the core values, ladies and gentlemen. Who is covering up the core values? The premise is the more we're all working with the same vocabulary, the further we're going to go, says a spokesperson for the organization. Okay. We're not going to go very far without knowing the core values. And from advertising age, marketing of safety enters the mainstream. The security and investigations industry, a more than $100 billion worldwide business, is suddenly finding itself at the right place, at the right time. We were the guys who sold raincoats on a sunny day, said Howard Safer, head of Safer Rossetti. Now we're selling raincoats, and it's pouring. The Office of Homeland Security is preparing to spend $37 billion in this sector, and the insurance industry is now establishing standards for corporate security plans that companies must follow in order to qualify for insurance, industrial insurance coverage. The security industry is beginning to find a focus and identity. And it's terrorism. Now the challenge is for companies to differentiate themselves and market their brands. There are a lot of companies that are positioning themselves as players in the homeland security market, says Tim Clark, editor and president of trade magazine Government Executive. Clearly, if I was running one of these security businesses, says General McCaffrey, the former head of our war on drugs, I would not only do client maintenance and communication, but I'd also advertise my services. O'Gara Hess and Eisenhart, which manufactures armored vehicles, has done lifestyle advertising in magazines such as The Robb Report. We do some corporate advertising in U.S. News. Omnicom is a backer of the company. Try to build a brand, said Mr. Safer, and get that brand recognized. We're trying to get the message across that we're the gold standard. Said a representative from Pinkerton, if I had unlimited discretionary funds for advertising, I could have a whole lot of fun. Sometimes I'll see a competitor with an ad, sometimes on television even, and I just go, oh, I want to be there. See, security can be fun, ladies and gentlemen, if I read the trades for you. Copyrighted feature of this program. And other programming is next.
We think is the most exciting new concept in the food and restaurant industry since the fashion cafe went away. We think this is a concept that has a lot more zazz, a lot more pizzazz from the second floor banquet facility of Cafe Schmata. This is where the designers go to eat. This is Strictly from Blackwell. I'm Blackwell. And I don't understand what ever happened to Hollywood. When you said Hollywood some time ago, there was a glamour, there was a glitz, there was a glitzy glamour that was just attached to the place like bugle beads. And today it is all gone. It is dust in the wind, and there is no wind. So we wonder whatever happened to Hollywood, and I wonder, as I drive the streets with Spencer on an evening and look at the ruins of Hollywood, I wonder, the people who are saying we must separate from Los Angeles, we must make Hollywood an in its own city, do we really feel that this is the right way to go for Hollywood at the beginning of a new century? To get out of Los Angeles and be Hollywood again. I don't know. You know, I say start closer to home. Why don't we devote half this time and half this effort and half this energy from the brain and the heart and the wherever into making Beverly Hills its own city?
It already is.
Okay, good. Durante Cole is here, and we're going to have such good conversation with him. When you say the name Durante Cole, I think of Jimmy Durante and Cole of California Swimwear. Durante Cole, you are the world's first or greatest psychic mechanic. First, welcome to Strictly from Blackwell.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Blackwell. I'm not interested in first. I'm not interested in greatest.
Okay.
Whatever it says there, you know, I'm fine with. But
okay, good.
This was a gift. This was a gift that I discovered in me, and what I'm interested in is being the best possible vessel for this gift.
Of course.
And that's what I try to do. So, whether more people do this or other people I do this.
Okay, and what is this?
Well, it says there on the paper.
No, I know, but I thought we're not going from the paper.
Okay, I'm the world's first psychic mechanic.
Okay, there it is, the world's first.
Yeah.
And when you say psychic mechanic, Durante, first of all, Durante, am I right, Jimmy Durante?
Somebody that my parents were great fans of. They named me after him. He was very popular singing, comedian or funny singer. I didn't see that much of his of his performances.
No.
But they loved him. They named me after him, and I guess I got a little bit of his ability to communicate with people and their vehicles.
Okay, and when you say psychic mechanic or mechanic psychic,
psychic mechanic,
you will go to a vehicle and you will heal it. But is that what you're doing? Do you heal a car?
If that's what it is required,
a car?
Yes, sir. It's I will be called for a session.
Okay.
I will spend approximately 30 minutes alone with the vehicle in question.
Alone.
And I will then perform a series of non-intrusive procedures.
Okay.
That will result in healing is not my word.
Healing
is not my word what happens.
No.
That's the conclusion drawn by others.
Of course.
I have a successful session with the vehicle. That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And about 90% of the time, that's what happens.
90% of the time. Incredible. Thank healing, right? And will you? Is it just anything that is wrong with? I mean, if an owner comes in, you know, a finicky older woman who's not quite sure whether she's still aggressive, progressive, or is just totally into female feminine, and she says, "My cigarette lighter doesn't work."
Well, let me put it this way, Mr. Blackwell. Yeah. I do my sessions as a service both to the spirit of the vehicle and to the companion, the human companion of the vehicle.
Okay.
But it's not free.
No.
So for something trivial like that, I would think maybe she'd go to, I don't know, an auto parts store.
Okay, so but, big things, right? You've had...
I've had exhaust manifold problems.
Okay.
I've had...
I don't know what...
several distributor cap situations with older vehicles. Alternators, very unhappy alternators, and I've
those.
Communicated with them in a non-intrusive way.
Okay, good.
A cracked engine block, Mr. Blackwell, which was very dramatic and
unbelievable.
Traumatic for everybody in the bay. And after a few anxious moments, it came out well, and there's no sign of a crack. No, not a seam.
No, the seam.
Not a fissure.
Not a fissure. Okay, that is unbelievable and incredible, and we believe just from the steely warmth of your presence here today that this is a very special gift. David Schlesinger, you bring a gift of yourself every time you just walk into a room and sit down and smooth your jacket.
Thank you.
Welcome back, my friend, with great news about... Now, I am so embarrassed. I am just embarrassed I did not remember that Beverly Hills is...
Oh, look. Is something... Beverly Hills stands out in its cultural nature and its its architectural style, certainly in its social life,
course.
In its media life, I may say, with a little pat on my own back.
No, go ahead. I'll pat
the
it.
Idea that there are city limits and city councilmen and city that, city hall.
Yeah.
I don't think that occurs to most people who come to the city of Beverly Hills.
No.
It's a reality that we deal with every day,
of course.
But
of
I've course. Got a more exciting reality that I want to talk to you about today, Mr. Blackwell.
I know you do, David, and with you we can refer to the paper.
Yes, you can.
You have taken the whole idea of news that is about the wonderful good life of Beverly Hills.
That's right.
Which you've tried in so many different venues and values.
Well,
and you have found your niche. Is that... Can we?
Yes, absolutely, Mr. B. Beverly Hills PDA is a method of bringing the wonderful story of still this very vibrant community, even with all the troubles that we've had in the last year. I don't hear too much about another media.
David,
And still have the wonderful parties and the wonderful openings and the wonderful restaurants and the wonderful... evenings and document those and not comment set ourselves up as authorities.
Never.
And get that right to your little PDA,
my PDA,
personal digital assistant.
Oh.
And it's in text.
Interesting.
And if you've got the right software, there are pictures and black and white at the moment, but we're working on color.
We're
so it's very exciting.
Color.
You get it right there in your hand.
Interesting.
Beverly Hills, in your hand.
We have dreamed of this, David. We've dreamed of this, you and I, in the smoky hours.
Yes, we have.
And now it is here. Now, what is a PDA? Is like a computer inside?
Yeah, it's a lot of the younger folks have them, lot of the more successful. We think this is a demographic gold mine, PDA people, Mr. B.
Yeah.
And they're used to getting their information this way, and they're used to paying... for premium information. And what's more premium than the news of the good life?
Nothing. The answer to that question, David, is nothing. Just go away after you've said nothing. Durante Cole, if I brought in a vintage car, you could, through psychic powers, restore it to mint condition, what it was like before the accident,
After a session... Mr. B, the vehicle leaves the session in birth condition.
Birth condition.
I don't claim credit for that. That wasn't my idea.
No.
I've just observed this.
Yeah.
I was as shocked originally as anyone else.
No.
I'm less shocked now because I see it.
Of course.
So very often.
Of course.
It's a gift that, you know, I'm in awe of it and me, myself.
Okay. Durante, we are in awe
of the clock, which is telling us tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, and too many of those, and there are no more. Durante, best of luck. We hope to bring a vehicle by and have a session with you. David Schlesinger, Beverly Hills PTA, we want it in our hand. Next time, looking ahead, is there any reason not to look back instead? Four reasons to say yes. Till then, Strictly from Blackwell, bye-bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in the Los Angeles area next Saturday night, you can see Calypso Rose, who that just was, along with Mighty Sparrow and David Rutter at a huge Calypso show at Royce Hall at UCLA, being produced by my friend Van Dyke Parks, which is why I'm mentioning it. No, I'm mentioning it because it's a great show, and I won't be able to see it, so I'm sending all of you in my stead. I'm out of the country next week. I swear, I really am. It's no excuse. I have to leave because of all the Yakov Smirnoff ads that have been appearing. Not for Yakov Smirnoff, sort of stealing his act from the New Yorker magazine for the McNeil Lehrer News Hour. When was the last time a news show tuned you in? In Russia, a news show tuned you in. And you may have seen the billboards for Yahoo, the website that logs on to you. In Russia, a website logs on to you. I don't want a website that logs on to me. That's like, next we'll have Nexium, the purple pill that takes you. I don't. Please let me be the active participant in the commercial transaction. And with those thoughts, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, on shortwave up and down the east coast of North America, WBCQ The Planet, 7.415 megahertz on your shortwave dial, and around the world on your computer whenever you want it at two different locations, www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com. And it would be just like ads on the cops' uniforms if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? It's the next logical step. Thank you very much. Uh-huh. Email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.